Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Sports Urban Legend. Along with my co-host, McCallum Matthew, I'm, of course, William R. Moe. What's up, man? How you doing?
Good, man. How's it going?
I'm doing all right. Good to have you on the show.
Yeah, good to be on.
Thank you, man. And on today's show, you know, we're gonna give our thoughts about the Royal Rumble, talk about what's going on with the Knicks, this, you know, Major League Baseball lockout, and also give our thoughts about the series, season four of Cobra Kai. And if you have, not to mention the Super Bowl coming up next week. So if you or anybody, you know, have anything you'd like to talk about, call us at 563-999-3529. That's 563-999-3529. So feel free to talk about any of these topics and more. We'd love to hear from you. With that said, let's change it up. Normally, you know, we save the word Rumble and wrestling for the end of the show, but yeah, let's lead off with that. So, Mac, what was your thoughts on this Royal Rumble?
It was a decent Royal Rumble. Wasn't great, but it was a decent. I thought there was a few matches, you know, that were entertaining to watch. I thought the Lesnar and the Lashley match, I thought that was a surprising ending. I mean, I wanted Lashley to win, but the way he won it, I didn't agree with. But, you know, that did end up being a okay match. What other matches were there? I guess the female Royal Rumble itself was good. The men's Royal Rumble ended up being predictable.
Mm-hmm.
What the matches I'm trying to think of? I'm now forgetting the matches that they were.
There was Seth Rollins versus Roman Reigns that led off the show.
Yeah, that was another match that had a disappointing ending to it.
Mm-hmm.
Like the Lesnar Lashley, but overall, I mean, it was a decent pay per view. I mean, it wasn't great. I mean, it was okay. So, well, we'll go over the each match here.
Yep, and that's not something that's not a description you want to have for one of your top four main event pay per view events.
Yeah, this is
arguably what the third most important pay per view event of the year.
Right.
You know, leading off the year, of course you got WrestleMania, SummerSlam, and then of course, you know, you got this and the Survivor Series as the big four. And that was the problem. Like, it was typical WWE for the past couple of years. You know, you have matches that, you know, are interesting, but then you have this weird, crazy ending that just sucks, you know, the whole air out of the whole, you know, pay-per-view match balloon, because it's like you get into the match, you have people saying this is awesome, and then they give you this corny ending, and that's basically what these matches have been. So yeah, let's start with the Seth freaking Rollins versus Roman Reigns. You know, Roman Reigns comes in first, even though he's the defending champion. And of course, the reason why they did that is because Seth Rollins wanted to surprise Roman Reigns by doing the old school Shield entrance that they used to do when the three of them, along with Dean Ambrose, now known as Jon Moxley in AEW, you know, came into the ring through the crowd. and he and you know Seth was wearing the old school Shield outfit that they all wore to get in his head. So yeah, you know, it was a good match. Obviously those guys have, you know, aforementioned chemistry with each other. And it was a good match all the way up until the end where it had a horrible disqualification ending where basically Roman Reigns purposely gets himself disqualified, and that basically ends the match. Yeah. Now, you know, we've talked about this, you know, for so many years. Basically, a DQ is not necessarily a bad ending. However, WWE matches usually end in disqualification, so that's the problem. It's as a result, it's very predictable, you know. So, and that's what ruined this match and so many countless other matches with WWE. It's like you're watching an episode of Monday Night Raw. You know, you watch a match and then it ends in a crappy ending. And then, you know, of course, Seth Rollins wins by DQ. Then Roman Reigns reenacts Seth's betrayal, you know, on the Shield to end the Shield. When he hit him with the chair, except he took it to the next level and he hit Roman Reigns Seth Rollins with the chair like 12 times or so, you know. So yeah, that showed Roman Reigns snapped. So then afterwards you had the Women's Royal Rumble, which, you know, that match, you know, was, you know, that match exceeded expectation. You know, it was a good Royal Rumble. And another thing that topped it off is like they literally had surprise entrances, you know, entrance. I mean, obviously they ruined a lot of them, like Mickie James, the Impact Women's Wrestling, you know, champion. They ruined that surprise. They ruined Summer Rae's surprise. They ruined a lot of female surprises, but they did have some surprise entrants that, you know, that were really surprises, like Ivory popping up,
yep,
you know, in her like the censor gimmick. Melina.
I was surprised by that. I was surprised that she came out in that gimmick.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest with you, I missed it. You know, I had like problems with the internet, so I missed the whole thing, and then I ended up finding out that she popped up. I was like, oh, you know, I completely missed the whole thing. But yeah, I think by the time it worked, Molly Holly came back as her superhero gimmick. Mighty Molly, and that was a great but very short interaction she had with Nikki A.S.H., almost a superhero, you know, because as you all know, Nikki A.S.H. is, you know, was a superhero, well, almost, quote unquote, almost a superhero, but now she turned into a heel. But in her mind, she still thinks she's a hero. So she attacked Mighty Molly, you know, and got her eliminated.
She's a supervillain.
Yep. Then you had, I'm trying to remember Naomi's friend, Cameron, part of the Funkadactyls, you know, when they were Brutus Clay's valets a decade ago. She popped up, but she got eliminated by Sonya Deville, you know, because of her rival, because of Deville's and Naomi's never-ending rivalry. She was the casualty of that. She and Cameron got eliminated. I'm trying to think of another surprise entrance. Obviously,
Mickie James.
Yeah, I mentioned that one.
Oh,
Mickie James was there for like at least a half hour. She was in there.
Yeah.
You know, even though, you know, barring something revolutionary by WWE, you know, she wasn't going to win it because she's not an employee of WWE. She's not only she's not an employee of the WWE, she's the Impact Women's or Knockouts, as they call them, Knockouts champion. So there would have been no way, unless they were really, knocking on the forbidden door and allowing someone else who's not in their company win their title, which that's not going to happen. No surprise there. She got eliminated.
I thought the WWE dropped the ball, and I mean, they could have had some even better comebacks for the female world. They could have had female wrestlers like Paige or Bayley or Asuka, make their returns, That would have got the audience hype with those returns. But no, we didn't see any of those female wrestlers come back.
Very true. Trish didn't come back.
Or Trish, yeah.
And I thought for sure she was going to pop up. But of course, the main return was the number 30th arrival of my Marie Serve Me Right. And of course, that would be Ronda Rousey making her long awaited return, I think. Her first time in like 2 years after she lost the triple threat match with Charlotte and Becky Lynch. And
Rowdy Ronda Rousey.
Mm-hmm. And she announced yesterday on Raw, rather on SmackDown, that she's going to deface Charlotte Flair.
I called it.
Hmm?
I called it. That's what I remember. I was telling you, I was like, it would make better sense. More ratings.
Yeah,
you did. If she challenges Charlotte, then Becky Lynch. Yeah, it makes sense.
You're right. She does have history of both. I thought she was going to be with I thought she was going to be against Becky, but I guess she's going to have to wait a little while longer to get her revenge on Becky. So, yeah, it's going to be a rematch between both of those ladies this upcoming WrestleMania. And then, of course, Becky Lynch, the aforementioned Becky Lynch. She defeated Doudrop to retain the title.
Or Doo-Doo Drop, as I like to call it.
Yes, you're right. Yeah, you do call it that. nothing really to say about that match, Becky retained. And then Edge and Beth Phoenix. They defeat The Miz and Maryse. No surprise there.
That was a good match. I thought Maryse did a great job in that match.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
she carried The Miz in that match.
I repeat that?
And she carried Miz in that match. My opinion.
Yeah. It's been a while she's been in the ring, but yeah. It was a good match.
Yeah, a good match. I mean, you'll forget that Maryse, she was a female champion in the past. Act like she can't wrestle.
Right. Yeah, I think she was a two-time Divas champion.
Yeah.
So, absolutely. I think they were definitely playing up that she was afraid of Beth Phoenix, because of Beth Phoenix's size. But I'm pretty sure they must have fought each other several times back in those days.
Yeah.
Unless they're passing across, because I think Maryse was mostly on SmackDown. Maybe Beth was more on Raw. So maybe their interactions were very limited. But, I mean, obviously we know they haven't fought each other in at least a decade or so.
Right.
I mean, I can't remember any matches of them fighting each other prior to this, but, I'm trying to think what other matches. And then, of course, you got, what should have been the main event, Bobby Lashley versus, Brock Lesnar. First time ever they're fighting against each other one-on-one. Obviously, first time those two fought each other was in day one, on New Year's Day, in that five-man elimination match that they had. And then, of course, actually it wasn't an elimination match. It was just a fatal five-way, and Brock Lesnar destroyed everybody except for Bobby Lashley. And Bobby Lashley destroyed him multiple times in the day one match. So leading up to that, you know, this was the dream match. This is the match we've been, me and you have been talking about for years on this show.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
And, you know, it was just, it was great to see both of those guys finally fight each other, you know, one-on-one. You know, I mean, it was a good match. But what taints it is, you know, Roman Reigns interfering, you know, in the end and, at, you know, obviously attacking Brock Lesnar and basically, you know, not giving Bobby Lashley, you know, a legitimate victory, you know, by himself. Obviously, we all know Bobby Lashley is a heel, so, you know, as a heel, you do whatever you can to win. But it was like, this match, I mean, it kind of transcends heels and babyface, you know. You'd want to see him, even as a heel, you'd want to see him, you know, win it cleanly, you know. But, I mean, obviously you understand, you know, Brock Lesnar is a babyface, and, of course, you know, Brock Lesnar is the babyface and Bobby Lashley is the heel, so obviously you want Bobby Lashley to do some underhanded stuff in order for him to get the victory by any means necessary. But yeah, just it kind of, I don't know, tainted it a little bit, but I mean, obviously I understood why they did it, but it just took away, I guess what was really messed up about it, it took the focus away from, you know, Bobby Lashley and Lesnar. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I thought they should have had a better ending than that. It makes Bobby Lashley look weak.
Yeah, exactly.
For him to beat Lesnar and that for him to win in that way.
Yeah.
I hope in this coming Elimination Chamber we can get Lashley to pin Lesnar cleanly without any
mm-hmm.
interference.
Yeah, exactly. That's the number one thing. That's the problem with it. Bobby Lashley looked weak, and it kind of ruined the whole buildup of the match because Brock Lesnar was basically saying he was, you know, he's a Brock Lesnar copycat and all that stuff. And, you know, I think in this match you had to have Brock Lesnar beat him fair and square because in this whole feud, Brock Lesnar never respected him. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, had it been the way how I would have built it up was that basically, you know, Brock Lesnar respects him. Brock Lesnar wants to whoop his butt and see him as an equal, you know, that he wants to beat up, you know, to prove himself that he is the top dog. But it was like this whole feud is kind of ruined because Bobby Lashley is taking it seriously, and Brock Lesnar is not even viewing him as he's viewing him as an afterthought. So coming into Monday Night Raw, this past Monday Night Raw, you would have thought Brock Lesnar would have been like, you beat me fair and square, you know. Yeah, I didn't like the way how you did it, but you know, you're a tough competitor and stuff like that, but. You know, and then he could have said, you know, that, you know, your victory is tainted, you know, because you had help and stuff like that. But it was like, there was still like no respect. I mean, it was even worse, you know, because Roman Reigns, the focus was supposed to be on Brock Lesnar and Bobby Lashley. But now the focus is on this upcoming WrestleMania match between Brock and Roman Reigns. You know what I mean? So it's like, within the match, the Brock versus Bobby match is like a filler, like this Elimination Chamber match. It's like, it's the thing that you're that's just there to make you, you know, tread water. And then, okay, now you guys have to care about these, you know, Roman and Brock facing each other. So, yeah, that's the main thing about it. It just took away the focus from it, and it made Bobby Lashley weak.
Yeah, I agree. I hope we can get a better finish this upcoming pay-per-view between Lesnar and Lashley. We'll see.
Yeah,
we'll see.
Because now it's imperative for Bobby to maintain being strong, because now had they would have saved this their matchup for WrestleMania instead of giving us Roman versus Brock again, because, I mean, Lord knows those guys have faced each other so many times. Like,
yeah.
But now it's like, because they did it, they didn't do it right. Now it's like they're going into the well for the Lashley Lesnar match. I mean, this match never happened now, but now it's like three matches in a row now, in a, you know, with different variations. So,
right.
In typical WWE fashion, you know, they're just gonna ruin this rivalry because these guys are battling each other way too much now. You know what I mean? It's three times too many. They should have saved this match for WrestleMania.
Yeah,
you know, but
I agree. Now we don't even know who Lashley's opponent is going to be in WrestleMania. Is it going to be Big E or Seth Rollins or?
Yeah,
don't even know yet.
Exactly.
I'm sure WWE doesn't even know.
They don't, because all they care about is the Roman versus Brock match. That's it. The Lesnar versus Lashley match was basically an advertisement, a billboard for the Roman Reigns versus Lesnar match coming at WrestleMania. they basically interrupted that match to let you know, hey, this match doesn't matter to us. We only really care about the Roman Reigns versus Lesnar match that's going to come up at the upcoming WrestleMania. But, yeah, let me see what else. And then, yeah, once the Royal Rumble, the men's Royal Rumble was the last thing instead of the Lesnar match, I knew right then and there they were going to make Brock Lesnar win the Royal Rumble. To me, there was no surprise, you know. And the men's Royal Rumble, I mean, the women's Royal Rumble had a lot of surprises. This men's one, not so much. I mean, yeah, Shane McMahon popped up, but, you know, in controversial fashion, there's rumors that Shane McMahon, believe it or not, got fired by WWE. That's the rumor that's going on. Like, apparently he booked himself into the match, and it just became, this crazy situation that they had in the behind the scenes in the Royal Rumble. You know, you had Kofi Kingston botching his yearly acrobatic moves. And if you know, if Kofi Kingston messed up his moves, man, that just sums up how this men's Royal Rumble was pretty chaotic.
Oh yeah,
and not in a good way. I mean, you had a bunch of mid-carders in it, you know, that you wouldn't take seriously as a serious threat to winning the WWE title. And, you know, by winning the Royal Rumble. I mean, I'm trying to remember the surprise entrances, and I can't even remember them.
I don't think there was
Johnny
Knoxville.
Johnny Knoxville. That's the only person that
yeah. Johnny Knoxville, Bad Bunny.
Oh yeah, Bad Bunny. Yeah, I mean right then and there, you had those guys like at the end of the match.
Yeah.
You know, like, that just shows you how weak the men's Royal Rumble is.
Yeah.
Yeah, Bad Bunny is one of your final, what was it, final four people? Shane McMahon?
Yeah.
I mean, like, come on.
It could have been much better.
Anything would have... Me and you in the match would have been much better than what they had. My goodness. What a joke. Yeah. And like I said, man, once I knew Brock Lesnar's match with Lashley didn't end the show as it should have, I mean that's what we were gonna get, Lesnar winning it, which makes no sense. Because back in the days, if you're fighting a championship match, you should not be in the Royal Rumble, because you essentially have two chances of winning the title. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So what would have happened if he would have won the Royal Rumble? He still would have competed. I mean, Charlotte Flair competed, and she's the SmackDown Women's Champion. Like, I mean, it defies logic. It literally defies logic. Like, you knew. I mean, obviously we knew. I mean, come on. I mean, let's be real. We all know it's, you know, predetermined, obviously. But for storyline purposes, you're not supposed to know, you know, that behind the scenes, you're not supposed to wink, wink, know who's going to win and lose that match. You know what right. I mean? It's supposed to be like, hey, you qualified, you go in there. You know? And it just sums up this Royal Rumble state of WWE right now.
Yeah, it could have been much better than it was.
Yeah, man, this thing was a circus more than Doink the Clown's entrance. I mean, like, come on, they need to get it together. We're on the road to WrestleMania. This is the road to WrestleMania you're doing. I mean, come on. I mean, Brock Lesnar didn't even have to be in this Royal Rumble match, much less win it. Because I mean, he's Brock Lesnar. He's always a free agent.
Match with the Roman Reigns, yeah.
He's always a free agent. Him winning the Royal Rumble again for the second time. If he never won the Royal Rumble before, I mean, the first time he did, I think, was 2003. I think they should have gave it to somebody who winning this Royal Rumble would have been more meaningful, like Big E or somebody to that effect. You know, a young guy or a veteran who, you know, who's been there, you know, forever. I mean, obviously, Brock Lesnar has been there forever, you know. Obviously with the big hiatus in between, when he came back in, what, 2011, I think it was? I think it was 2013. Because I think he came back the day after the Twice in a Lifetime match with Cena and The Rock, when he attacked John Cena.
Cena on Monday Night Raw, the night after.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah. So from like what 2004 to 2013, you know, he had that huge hiatus before he came back, and then of course, you know, Bobby Lashley left the company, was in the company from what 2005 to 2011 or so, and then he came back 2018. So it was like the first time ever that both of those guys were in the company at the same exact time. And then, of course, when they both had their hiatus, they both were doing MMA. I think Lashley was doing Bellator and of course, you know, Lesnar was doing UFC. So, and then still those guys still never, you know, fought each other until, you know, New Year's Day. So, I mean, yeah, man, they definitely dropped the ball. But yeah, we'll see what happens, you know, in the upcoming weeks with the this Elimination Chamber coming up. And oh yeah, and another thing is they didn't even announce the Hall of Fame, who's going to be in the Hall of Fame this year.
Oh yeah, I would think that they got to do that in the upcoming weeks.
Yeah, but normally I think they usually do it like I think just before the Royal Rumble. And, you know, I was thinking maybe they were going to do it this Monday, but, you know, the Monday that just passed, but no such luck. So, I mean, they got to get on the ball. Maybe they'll do it this Monday. Oh, and another thing I don't like that they've been doing recently, obviously they spoiled the Royal Rumble women entrance. But, yeah, lately, you know, these past couple of years, they've been spoiling, you know, who's going to go into the Hall of Fame, you know, beforehand, so they could get the buzz from the media, instead of like how they used to do it, like you had to watch the show to find out, and then they get the buzz. You know, I don't know. How do you feel about that?
But wait, repeat the question.
Oh, okay. You know how years ago when they announced who's going to be the Hall of Fame, who's going to enter the class?
Uh-huh.
How they used to do it, like, you know, every week, and then you would find out who's going into the Hall of Fame when you're watching the show.
Right.
But now they publicize who's going in hours before, you know, before Raw happens. You know what I'm saying? You understand what I mean?
I'm not understanding.
Okay.
I mean,
let me explain. All right. Let's say, for example, The Rock's going into the Hall of Fame.
Right.
Back years ago, you would watch the show and you're like, I wonder who's going in. And then you watch the show, you see the montage, and you're like, oh, okay, The Rock's going into the Hall of Fame.
Right.
But nowadays,
as the show starting?
Huh?
As the show starting, you're talking about, or during the show?
During the show, years ago, you used to watch the show and then wonder who's going in, and then you watch the montage live,
right,
and everybody finds out at the same exact time.
Right.
Nowadays, it's like, for the past couple of years, it's like, they tell the media, they tell ESPN, they tell Sports Illustrated, they tell everybody,
okay,
and then, you know, and then before you watch
it, it's released in the press before they air it, you're saying.
Exactly.
Okay.
So which style do you like better?
I mean, I like it. I like it the old way during the show. That's
mm-hmm.
when everyone found out all together instead of
right
hearing it and then seeing it late announced later on Raw. So I would love to see it announced on Raw first.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, to me, it made more sense. It's like they're late to their own party. Like they, you know what I mean? Like they don't even know they were having a party. You know what I mean? Like broke earlier today by ESPN and Sports Illustrated, The Rock's going into the Hall of Fame. Congratulations. You know, it's like you should be breaking your own news.
Yeah.
And then the next day, then all the other media can say, oh, you know, on Raw, you know, The Rock went into the Hall of Fame. You know, he got announced, and then you have that buzz that you wanted, and then it would lead up to next week.
Yeah.
But now it's like Raw is playing catch up because their show starts at 8, and then it ends at 8 a.m. in the morning. You know, the way how these storylines be going on. Because watching these shows, it's like even though it supposedly ends at 11, it's like it just never ends. But
yeah, no, I'm with you. I'm with you there.
But yeah, man, let's shift gears to the Knicks, man. Like, you know,
that was a bad loss tonight.
Oh yeah. Anytime you lose to the Lakers, it's a bad loss. The only way this loss could have been even worse is if we lost to them like in the 72 NBA Finals, which that ain't gonna happen anytime soon. Which ironically is the 50th anniversary. Now that I think about it.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Yeah,
that is right. 72, yeah.
Because yeah, and then of course we had our revenge and got our one in 73, which, as we all know, as Knicks fans, is the last time we won a title. And it ain't changing anytime soon, man. Cause, man, last year we had that fool's gold thinking into the Knicks are, you know, they're calling their way out of respectability. You know, we here. Now Randall rumors saying that Randall wants to be gone. You know,
Randall is saying that's not true, but. Who knows what's
his
going
body
on.
Language is saying it's true.
Well, he played good tonight. I mean, you know, he had looks like he had, let's see how many points. Played in a very good game tonight, I see. 32 points, 16 rebounds, 7 assists. So he had a very good game. Him and R.J. Barrett, they pretty much carried the Knicks tonight. Evan Fournier hit some big shots in the second half, but yeah, man, they let the Lakers have their biggest comeback of the year.
Mm-hmm.
Knicks were leading by 15 in the first half, had their one of their best scoring half, you know, this year. And they end up blowing this game. I mean, R.J. Barrett did tie the game in the fourth quarter to bring it to overtime, but in overtime, they really couldn't do anything. They only scored 4 points.
Yeah, man, it's ridiculous, man. Isn't this Barrett's career high too?
36, probably might be.
I don't think he ever had 39. I don't think so. Yeah, I think 36 is his career high.
Yeah, might be.
But
why
is
Cam Reddish not playing? Still,
I know.
Why? Why did we get him if we're not gonna play him?
I know. That's what I'm saying. Like, I mean, it's ridiculous. Like, it's a head scratcher, man. It's like, apparently they're saying, like, you know, they gotta trade all these guys away for him to have a shot to play. But it's like, y'all should have thought about this before you traded for him.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Yeah, like you said, Randle had a good game. You know, props to him. You can't take that away from him. You know that he had a good game. You know, he was motivated playing against his former team, and you know against Dallas, he gets motivated against his his hometown team as well. But other than that, like, you know, so many games he disappears and, you know, turns the ball over. I mean, to me, man, I think it's time to, you know, cut our losses and trade them, you know. Even, you know, if, you know, hope, and you better hope it addresses the point guard situation we have. You know, whether it's DeAndre Fox or, as I mentioned in the past to you, which is, I know, would be a crazy move, and that would be even getting a Russell Westbrook, even though obviously he's not going to change our chances of, you know, winning a title, but at least you have a guy who, you know, who's talented, and you could use him as a trade chip, because he would be more tradable, even though he's having a, you know, by his standards, a bad year. You know, at least you would get somebody back who could be, even at his worst, would give you a better trade value than Randle would. You know,
yeah.
I know you disagree with me, but that's what I think. Because if you don't do a trade to address your point guard situation, you're just going to be doing a typical trade that the Knicks have been doing for the past 20 years, you know, of basically training a guy who has talent, you know, who's underachieving, and then you get back, like, overpaid players who, you know, who will never be superstar players, you know, because Knicks don't get anybody through free agency. You only overpay for mediocre or decent players who'll never be superstars, but paid them superstar money because we can't attract superstars to come here, you know.
If you're going to try to trade them, I would wait until after the season. I wouldn't do it in the season. And, you know, who are you going to trade them for also? Like, you know, if you're going to trade them for something, you're going to have to get back. You better get back a lot for him.
That's my point.
Or a superstar player.
That's my point.
You know, so don't try to trade for, like, bum-ass players with expiring contracts or draft picks. You got to get superstar back.
That's my point.
I'm hearing Aaron Fox, which I wouldn't mind, you know, having a guard added. But then again, if you trade him for Aaron Fox, then you're going to have to address that forward position. Who's going to replace him in that forward position? You'll put
Put Toppin in there.
Yeah,
you know?
But, you know, is Toppin going to be – the thing is – Toppin still needs to improve on his game, you know. There's some areas he still needs to improve. So
I agree, but this would
be a quick fix.
It would be, to me, that would be the, you know, his baptism under fire, you know, because it's like, okay, Randle is gone. You know, here's your shot to prove yourself. You know, here's your opportunity. No pressure. We're not going to make it to the playoffs anyway. You know, by some miracle, if we make it to the play-in, I mean, you're playing with house money because we ain't going to do nothing. You know what I'm saying? So, to me, you know, getting rid of Randall, and if you get and if you trade him only, listen to me, you trade him only if you get back a point guard who improves our point guard position, like DeAndre Fox, I forgot how you pronounce his first name, you know, or like I said, even Russ Brook, because we're desperate for a point guard situation, because before Derrick Rose, I mean, obviously he was a good point guard when he started, but he was injury prone. But prior to that, the last time we had a point guard, like a real point guard, was Jason Kidd for that 1 year when we made it to the playoffs, you know. So they need a point guard. They ain't getting Haliburton. They ain't getting any other, talented, star point guard like that, especially a young guy. Or even a veteran guy, you're not getting Lillard. Lillard's gonna most likely get traded to the Lakers, probably for Westbrook, eventually. So I mean, you gotta be creative, man. You gotta improve this point guard situation. You know, and I would say, if you can't get Fox, man, worst case scenario, get Westbrook. You know, that's a triple double.
Yeah,
triple
no,
double
I would not
dude.
Do that. That's
triple double
mess.
Dude.
That's going to be a mess. Trust me, you do not want that issue here in New York. What's going on now on this team?
We're not going to win nothing. We're not going to win nothing with him. We're not going to win nothing without him. But at least the point guard situation would be at least addressed. And in worst case scenario, if he's still having all these crazy drama
stuff. Yeah, but he's not your typical point guard, though. Westbrook is not your typical point guard. That's the thing.
You'll get more back for him than you'd get back for Randall.
Yeah, I don't know.
I'm telling you. He would get more back for him trading him than trading Randall.
Yeah, that's going to be questionable if that does happen. Got to be realistic here. You know, you get Westbrook,
okay.
It's going to mess. It's going to not only is going to eat into some of these other guys' minutes. You know, we also don't forget we're right now we have a lot of guards in this team. We have Grimes, we have Burks.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
we have
Fournier.
Burks,
what are we going to do with all these guys? Walker?
Burks would definitely be traded. It would be in the trade. And maybe even Grimes, because a lot of teams like Grimes. I want to keep Grimes, but Grimes might be involved in any trade that they're going to do. You know what I mean? Fournier, Walker are most likely going to be in any of the trades Knicks are going to be involved
You think it is easy for them to trade Walker and the contractor Fournier?
If Randall's involved and you take back a big contract as well.
I don't know, man. That's going to be tough. It's going to be very tough. We'll see. You know, we'll see if they're able to do it.
Well, we'll find out in a few days, February 10th.
If I'm an owner, I wouldn't touch those contracts at all.
I wouldn't either, but remember, we're the Knicks. We're the ones that make these moves. We sign. players.
Yeah, we're the ones that make it, and now we have to deal with it. No,
yeah,
that's
usual.
The thing.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, I don't, perfect world. I don't have a problem with Kemba Walker being on the team, but the problem is he's injury prone. You know, in a perfect world, I'd love him to stay, but, you know, he's injury prone. There's nothing we could do with him. So, I mean, If it improves the situation, free up some salary, you know. Hey, if you package Fournier and Randall in it, you know. Hey, I mean, clear up the cap space because that's the only positive thing that the Knicks could do. Because there's no point of us having this huge salary. We don't have no flexibility whatsoever. You know what I mean? The only time a good player wants to come to the Knicks is if he's getting drafted as a rookie. Other than that, once a person's established in the league, they don't want to come here.
Yeah.
Well, there's drama. Name one legit star player that want to come here. It's always the young guys on draft night to be like, you know, it'd be my dream, you know, playing the Garden, you know what I'm saying? Shooting the Garden, play, you know, all this stuff. And then when they're in the league, they don't care. They don't want to come to the Knicks no more. Like, that's just how it is. It's been like this for the past 20 years. It ain't changing. I heard the song remixed for the past 20 years, and it gets worse and worse. You know? So they just got, they got clean house. They got a clean house. Bing Bong is dead. Now we got to worry about the ping pong. That's it. That's all we got to worry about. And develop these young guys. Keep Barrett. Let me say that again. Keep RJ Barrett. Do not trade this guy for a quick fix of a guy who's a decent player at best. And a change of scenery, you know, it's going to make him do better. You know what I mean? Like, RJ Barrett cannot be traded. RJ Barrett has to be a dude like your boy Jeter or David Wright and stay his entire career as a Knick. You cannot trade this guy, because once you trade this guy, watch. Watch this guy flourish. This guy's going to be – with the Knicks right now, he could potentially develop into a star. You know what I'm saying? But if you trade him one, he's going to be a superstar instantly, because he's going to be in a better situation.
Yeah, probably.
And today, you know, that proved it, man. He scored 36 points. Yeah, man, this guy was in NBA jam mode, you know, on the three-point line. You know what I mean? But the Knicks, typical Knicks, they just, you know, they let that lead slip away. They left 15 point lead slip away, and then they forced overtime, and of course, in typical Knicks fashion, they lost the game. And we didn't even talk about LeBron James, man. You know, he recorded his 103rd triple double, 29 points, 13 rebounds, 10 assists. Typical game of LeBron James against the Knicks, except he didn't score 30 on us. That's it. That's the only shocking thing about it. And then you had Anthony Davis. You know, he had a double-double, 28 and 17. Blocked 4 shots. And, you know, that's it, man. And again, props to Barrett. You know, he had a career high, 36 points. He showed up at the Lakers and, you know, and did his thing. But unfortunately, typical Knicks, we got the loss, you know. Yeah, that's all she wrote.
Yeah, this team's just going to have to – I mean, technically, you know, they still have a chance to turn it around, but
– and get knocked out. And then we're going to lose even worse than we did against the Hawks. Man, nah. If we make the playoffs, it better be with this roster just destroyed and have the young guys play, because those young guys are hungry, especially the second unit, man. When you let those guys roll, those guys usually, you know, keep us in the game. If we're trailing because of the starters usual typical ineffectiveness that they have, they make us bounce back. You know, but
Emmanuel Quickley, that's another guard. When Derrick Rose does come back, if he comes back this year, Knicks are going to be flooded with a lot of guards. I mean, this idea that we don't have guards, we have more guards than any other position right now on bench. So that's going to be a big problem.
Other than, of course, Rose and Walker, but those guys are injury prone. But we don't have any healthy guards that have experience.
That's a big problem. I think we need to address some bigger guys. I mean,
yeah.
I'd be more open to getting like a guy like Ben Simmons, you know?
Yeah, me too. I agree.
That would actually make more sense than Russell Westbrook.
I would definitely take a shot at Ben Simmons if it would definitely, you know, clear up this cap space and take a chance on a talented guy. You know, Yeah, I would definitely be open to that if we get rid of these, you know, horrible contracts that we're saddled with, you know, probably for the next 3 years or so. So, yeah, I would definitely be open to that. But then there's rumors Ben Simmons might get traded to the Nets, maybe for Harden or Kyrie Irving. You know, the rumors are going out. So,
yeah.
And that, you know, switching gears with that, man. The Nets, man, they recently lost like six in a row at least.
Seven.
You know? Well, seven, I stand corrected. Yeah, man, it's not, you know, without the big three, it's a different team, you know. Because it's like Saved by the Bell that last season. You know, one episode it's Kelly, you know, Kelly and Lisa. The next episode Kelly, Lisa and Jesse. And then the next episode it's just Lisa and Tori. Or even DuckTales. You know, you had Gizmo Duck and Bubba, the cave duck, switching episodes too, flip flopping episodes too. Like, you don't know what you get, you know. But you need all the cast together at the same time. That's how the big three works. You know, if you have two of the three, then you're just like any other team, you know, with two superstars. You know, other than the Knicks, obviously. You know, that's not special. But when you have these three of the best scorers of all time, you know, sharing the ball and scoring, that puts you on an elite level. And the Nets barely had that. The only time they've had it was in a handful of games on the road, because obviously Kyrie Irving's stance on, you know, getting the vaccine and, you know, him being banned from, you know, near, you know, arenas in, you know, New York from playing. So, yeah, that's basically it. And there's rumors that Harden wants out of Brooklyn, and I think now there's new reports saying that he wants to stay. So, I mean, yeah, it's a chaotic mess.
KD injured. You got Kyrie can only play role games, and now this situation with Harden probably being traded. Yeah, that's a messy situation right now with the Nets.
Yeah, it is. Which situation do you think is crazier, the Knicks or the Nets?
Oh, I would say. Well, I mean, I'd say with the Nets, because the Nets, mm-hmm. I mean, you have a big three that's supposed to be playing together and supposed to be a championship contender. And yet you can't have all three of them play together at one time. I mean, that's worse than the Knicks situation, because the Knicks are not expected to win a championship. Mm. The Nets are. So right now they're underperforming right now, because you can't have, they're not having all three guys play together at once. So
exactly.
I'd say their situation is worse off than the Knicks.
Mm-hmm. With the Knicks, it's just old hat. You know, it's just the same old, you know. Last year was full gold. You know what you're having with the Knicks. Unfortunately, this is all too familiar. If, you know, you've been a Knicks fan since, you know, 2001, this is the new normal for the Knicks, you know. For the Nets, on the other hand, they're on, you know, uncharted territory, you know. This is the Nets' first... The Nets are trying to win that elusive championship, their first NBA title in history. You know, they've won it in the ABA, but they haven't won it in the NBA yet. And, you know, they basically mortgaged the future that they had a few years ago, you know, that they, you know, to ensure that they had the big three, to get Harden in there, to form the big three. So once they did that, and, you know, messed up the chemistry that they had with their supporting cast when it was just the big two, you know, they were all in, you know, there's, it sped up their process of gelling as a team, you know, Kyrie and KD, and then the surrounding cast they had with Dinwiddie and all the, and the, all the other people that they traded away to, you know, to take it to the next level. Yeah, now there is no room for error, you know. And then with all these the unforeseenable stuff going on with the pandemic, and you know, obviously Kyrie can't play all the games. You know, it's just it just makes it an unprecedented situation, not only for the Nets, for an NBA team, a potential NBA contending team. You know, it's just, yeah, it would be miraculous if the Nets could get it together and win this win a title, because the only way for them to play to win on the court, well, all three of them, would be if Game 7 is going to be on the road. You know, that's it's just a weird strategy, like, to strategize about it. Like, you know firsthand that one of your star players is not going to play. You know, there's not going to be a Willis Reed moment, you know, of Kyrie Irving, you know, getting onto the court, Game 7, you know, at the Barclays Center. Oh my goodness, that's Kyrie Irving coming onto the court. He apparently must have got two of his vaccine shots without us knowing, and he's on the coming onto the court. That's the only way that I have, like, a serene moment. And then he knocks down the first two shots and lead them to the title. I mean, that's the only way they could have a miraculous, you know, way of all three of them going on and playing on the court in the Barclays Center. And, you know, that's not going to happen, you know. So, I mean, just a crazy situation in sports, man, especially in New York. And, shifting gears. I mean, I guess before we get into baseball, which I plan to, but, yeah, let's talk about the NFL. You know, of course, Tom Brady, arguably the greatest quarterback of all time. You know, he finally hanged it up, you know, played, 22 years in the league. Majority of that, you know, 20 years with the Patriots, won 6 titles, then went to the Buccaneers, won the title last year, and then, of course, got knocked out of the playoffs. But, yeah, it's the end of an era, you know. As a Jet fan, you know, hey, you know, good riddance. But, I mean, as an NFL fan, you know, this guy has brought a lot of joy to you know, New England, and then for these last 2 years with you know, Tampa Bay. And yeah, man, you just can't bet against Tom Brady, man. And finally, his luck or his, you know, father time finally caught up. You know, he had, you know, he gotta, you know, spend time with his family. An incredible career.
Yeah,
I mean, what's your thoughts?
Yeah, the, you know, greatest quarterback of all time, 7 championship rings, so many Super Bowl appearances. You know, a great run with New England and won that championship last year with Tampa. Yeah, he's had a great career. And, you know, I thought he'd probably, you know, I thought that when the Buccaneers got eliminated, I thought he'd come back next year. He try to play one more season, but, you know, it's understandable that he wants to spend more time with his family. And, yeah, man, he leaves behind a great legacy and definitely one of the greatest, if not the greatest, player of all time. And you Jets fans keep making excuses saying, you know, that you forget that he was in the AFC for the last 2 years. So
right,
saying sayonara or good riddance. I mean, he didn't play in your division the last couple of years, so you guys should have won something at least, you know, climbed up the standings a bit. It wasn't his fault. He didn't prevent you guys from winning. He didn't even play in the AFC East the past 2 years, so don't be so sour.
I mean, of course, that's obvious, but, you know, that ghost is still haunting Gillette Stadium, you know, and, you know, it's there. You know, Mac Jones might be the quarterback, but, you know, of course, you know, Bill Belichick, you know, he's the Wizard of Oz over there. He's, you know, using smoke and mirrors, you know, saying, hey, wait a minute. I thought Brady left. How did he still win in New England over there, you know? So, yeah, Brady, man, you know, I mean, Belichick, man, he's still got, you know, he still got a winning organization over there.
Yeah, so you should be blaming Belichick, not Brady.
We don't blame Belichick because Belichick is a two-time for Jets head coach, and he never even coached the game.
Right.
And apparently he just faxed his resignation for good and then, you know, took his talent to, New England, you know. I guess, you know, he must be a huge Pat Riley fan because, you know, Pat Riley, you know, he basically, he's the man who convinced LeBron James to take his talents to South Beach when he did the same thing a decade or so earlier. So,
yeah.
Don't you know all these legendary coaches, you know, screw with my team, my team end up still in these championship-less droughts, you know.
Yep.
But it is what it is, man. But, yeah, the Super Bowl coming up, man. You got the Bengals in there and the Rams. So, who you think's gonna make it? Who's gonna win it all?
I'm not gonna reveal my pick until next week, so I'm gonna hold off. You know, I'm gonna give it a little bit thought, so much thought. So I will reveal my Super Bowl picks next week on who's gonna win that game, but. It's going to be a great game, I feel, between the Bengals and the Rams. You know, Bengals, they're the underdog, obviously. Mm-hmm. Rams, they're stacked. You know, they're supposed to win it, but I don't know. Yeah. Give it some thought, and I will let you know who I think will win in the Super Bowl next week.
So I shall do the same. So to be continued with that, you know, we'll give our thoughts next week. And, let's dive into baseball. You know, there's rumors that the Yankees are going to pursue Freddie Freeman, you know, once this lockout is up. And, yeah, another thing about this lockout, it's getting even uglier because MLB, you know, suggested that they were going to have a mediator, but the players are calling the owner's bluff, saying that if they really wanted to have a mediator, then they wouldn't have had, you know, them not talking to each other for 43 days, you know, up until this point where they were finally talking to each other this week. So, yeah, I mean, it's a real ugly situation, man. And the people who are really suffering is the fans, man. They're not getting any of the piece of the pie. And, you know, Lord knows, really only God knows when we're going to have a season. Because it's one thing for certain. We're missing some games here. We're definitely going to miss some games here.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I mean, this doesn't look like it's resolved anytime soon. So. Mm-hmm. Might have a late start to the season, and going back to the Yankees probably pursuing Freddie Freeman, I think that would be a good move, even though right now they have Voit still on the team. Mm-hmm. So what are they going to do with Voit? Are they going to try to trade him or move him to the outfield? Like, I don't know what the Yankees are thinking, but if we can find a way to fit Freeman on the team while Voit is still here, I think that would be great. But I don't see that happening, so I think they're going to try to trade Voit if they do end up going after Freddie Freeman.
Yeah, I agree. But yeah, I think Freddie Freeman is coming back. Not only because they're the defending world champions, which I'm surprised they threw up just mentioning that, but yeah, not only because they just won it all. He's a hometown, boy. He won the title for his hometown team. Yeah, I think he's gonna remain his career with the Braves. But if he does leave the Braves, Yankees is the only team I could see him leaving. For. But yeah, I think he stays in Atlanta.
We shall see.
Yeah, Scherzer was basically, because he's one of the player reps. He might even be the lead one, if I'm not mistaken. And he was basically criticizing the state of this lockout. With the owners, tanking games. They want there to be more parity in the league, and also to do away with the player compensation, because that really messed up the free agency this year, because there's a lot of good players who are still out, who still haven't been signed before the December 2nd start of the lockout. So they want to do away with the player compensation, and they don't want the players not to get called up at a certain time, because that's exactly what was going to happen to Pete Alonso in 2019. They were thinking about calling him up a month into the season because it would give them an extra year of arbitration before he gets into the, before you become a free agent. But fortunately for us, as Mets fans, he started the whole year and was able to set a Met record, an impossible Met record of not only hitting 50 home runs, but actually, leading the league in home runs and then doing it as a rookie. I mean, it was incredible single season power performance by a Met. Like, you would have thought something like that would have happened with a veteran, like Piazza or somebody, Delgado or Beltran or somebody of that, or even Strawberry, during, his heyday in the 80s, but yeah, up until 2019, it seemed impossible that a Met, a homegrown Met in his rookie year would do something like that. So yeah, if the Mets would have stuck with their plan, I mean, Pete would have had a great year, but it wouldn't have been this magical year that he had in his rookie season. So, yeah, man, both sides, they have to find common ground, because the fans are the ones that's really affected by it. Obviously, yes, the bottom line is going to be affected, but, the players want to get, the owners want to make as much of a profit as they want to make, but they got to find some common ground. I mean, common ground is most likely they're gonna want you universal DH, but they are just worlds, planets, galaxies apart, when it comes to finding common ground to end this lockout as soon as possible.
Yeah, hopefully there's a resolution. We shall see.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, man. So, anything else you'd like to talk about before we head out?
No, nothing else that I can think of.
All right, man. Well, thanks for coming, Mac. And ladies and gentlemen, thank you for hanging out with us this Saturday evening / early, very early Sunday morning with us. And we'll be back next week, give you our predictions for the Super Bowl, and talk about anything that's going on in the world of sports and entertainment. Oh, wait, one more thing I forgot. The Cobra Kai Season 4. What's your thoughts on the season, Mac? And, yes, there will be spoilers, folks. So if you haven't seen it, right now would be the best time for you to check this episode. But with that, again, there are spoilers, so you've been warned. So, Mac, I'll let you start first. What's your thoughts on Season 4 of Cobra Kai? Don't pull any punches, and feel free to sweep the leg and get right into it.
All right. Well, it was just another great season of Cobra Kai. You know, Terry Silver, you know, taking over the role as the main antagonist in this season. Him betraying Kreese at the end, which I kind of saw coming. But yeah, I mean, Terry Silver's character, you know, the development throughout this season was great. And just seeing him betray Kreese like that, I mean, that was, I wouldn't say shocking, but it was, you know, it was something that, you know, we never would have expected, since, you know, these guys, you know, go back all the way to the, when they were Army together.
Mm-hmm.
So seeing that was a, may have been a bit of a surprise to everyone, but, you know, I thought his character was great in this season, and I'm looking forward to see what happens next season. Maybe if he brings a, what's his name from Mike Barnes next year and in next season. So that'd be great. But yeah, man, it's this season was probably the best season that I've seen so far. And you know, all the other previous seasons were great, but this one was even better. You know, with Terry Silva, with the different rivalries going on, you know, I feel like they focus a lot more on the female rivalry between Tori and Sam, you know, and having now a female division in the karate tournament. I thought that was great. You had, like, Hawk redeem himself. Mm. And, you know, he went from being a heel in the previous two seasons to becoming, like, a hero now. You know, after winning the boys tournament, you know, so you know it was a lot of different storylines throughout this season. You know, rivalries, redemption stories. Did have some disappointments with what's the Mexican kid who was the champion?
Oh, Miguel.
Before? Miguel, you know, he ended up injuring himself again, but it's another storyline where, you know, at the end there he goes to find his father. So yeah, it's you know, it just kept you on your feet, you know, and it was another great season, man. I'm waiting for season 5 to come out. You know, I wish they could have just did it back to back, you know, instead of us having to wait another year, you know, for another mm-hmm. season. But I can't wait to see what happens next year. You know, I want to see Mike Barnes. I want to see female Karate Kid. You know,
you're talking about Julie Pierce. Hilary Swank character from the
Hilary
next Karate Kid.
Character, yeah, in the next mm-hmm. Karate Kid. I want to see if she makes an appearance, maybe to, you know, teach the girls a little move, a move or two, and also I want to see Daniel team up with what's his face? I'm forgetting his
Johnny?
Name now. No, not Johnny.
Or Saito.
Saito. No.
I mean Choi-san. Choi-san.
Choi-san. Yeah. There you go.
Saito
yeah.
was his uncle.
Right. So I want to see them how they're going to team up against Terry Silver and whoever he recruits to partner with him. So it's going to be exciting, man. It's going to be exciting. But this season was definitely a 5-star season again, and the best one yet.
Yeah, man. I mean, you know, like I've been saying every year, like just when you think they can't go over the top, they can't improve, they always find a way. So, man, I co-sign everything you said, man, to the point that I have to sue you because you just literally took everything I was going to say in my mind and you just put it out there. So, yeah, I agree with you 100%. And another thing is everything you said is I agree with 100%. Another thing is we might even have an unlikely alliance between not only Daniel, Johnny, and Saito, but even John Kreese, teaming up because Cobra Kai, his baby, got stolen from him from his longtime friend, Terry Silver, because Terry Silver got the itch to come back to Cobra Kai, get her revenge from Karate Kid 3, got the victory. So we're basically living in the world of what would have happened if Terry Silver's and John Kreese would have won the tournament in Karate Kid 3 30 years ago. Now we're seeing what would have happened, but now it's set in the modern day era. And of course you saw it kind of mirrors what happened in Cobra Kai season 1 and 2. Johnny Lawrence finally got his revenge of seeing Miguel win the title, Cobra Kai, Johnny finally beat Daniel vicariously through Miguel, And then at the very season 1 finale, John Kreese comes in out of the shadow and eventually usurps him, his former protege, for the leadership role. So then Lawrence didn't even get a chance to enjoy the fruits of his labor because his son, Robbie Keane, was the recipient of Miguel beating him at the finals. So he had a bittersweet situation with him getting his revenge on Daniel because he essentially lost his son even further down the rabbit hole. And, Robbie became the Anakin of the Cobra Kai, which they reference in the season. Dimitri referenced in that season. Oh, yeah, it was also good to see Aisha return, which I felt they should have made her join the Eagle Fang, in that episode when they were looking for girls, But, I mean, the silver lining is it's good that she had her, follow-up. I can't even think of the word I'm trying to say, but, yeah, it was good to see her come back. But, I mean, come on, man. They should have made her come back, for the rest of the season. Join Eagle Fang. And she just moved away from, like, one part of California to the next one. It's not like she couldn't drive back to the school or something like that. It was like, it wasn't like she was in New York or Chicago or, Like, she was still in California, what I mean? I think that was the only negative thing about the season, but it was flawless. Other than that, it was just completely flawless. The storylines, seeing Terry Silver just, he was in Godfather 3 mode, He was in Karate Kid 3, but he went into Godfather 3 mode. Just when he thought, he was out, John Kreese just pulls him back into the Cobra Kai, lifestyle and the tournament, and definitely exemplified that Cobra Kai never dies, and how much he was willing to basically sell out just so he could get the championship, sacrificing his friendship with Kreese because. Kreese did use the Vietnam him saving Silver's in Vietnam all the time. He always had that hanging over his head, which Silver was right. I mean, everything he said in that speech was right. Like, John Kreese was his weakness, you know, in a sense. And Kreese was right, too. He was his strength. It was like he was his strength and his weakness. And Kreese's weakness is Johnny Lawrence. You know, he was that strict father figure, you know, to Johnny Lawrence.
Yeah.
You know, in his weird way, Kreese cares about Johnny, if that sounds weird. Like, I guess in a weird way, he kind of loves him in a way, but in a weird way, but he's just that soccer mom, you know, that parent that's like, you know, I want you to live vicariously to me, and I'm just gonna, you know, just be this, I don't know, you know, horrible parent, like, you know, not letting, you know, Johnny flourish, you know, and that was evident of, you know, Karate Kid 2, which was basically a deleted scene from Karate Kid 1, which would have been the alternate ending. You know, after they lost to Daniel, Kreese lost it and was attacking, you know, Johnny, you know. But yeah, other than that, like, it was just a phenomenal season. Looking forward to, you know, to seeing season 5.
Yeah, can't wait.
Yeah, I'm trying to think if there's anything else I haven't touched upon. Because, I mean, you basically said everything I was thinking anyway. So, yeah, I think that's about it. That I haven't covered. I mean, you know, Cobra Kai wise, but yeah, phenomenal season. Can't wait for season 5. Technically, they did tape season 5, but you know, they're gonna milk it. They're gonna make us wait it out. You know, to watch it. You know, basically towards the end of the year. So, and Terry Silver was bragging that season 5 is even better than season 4. I mean, I would say it's impossible, but every year they deliver. So, I mean, that just shows you what happened when you have diehard fans involved with the process of, you know, a show from an establishing franchise, film franchise in this case. And it shows, you know, you got the fan service callbacks, which to me is a great thing. I know some people think, oh, fan service, ooh, is a bad thing. But to me, it's, you know, it's basically rewarding your fans, you know, with Easter eggs and characters that they want to see, dream matches, you know, interactions with characters within the whole Karate Kid mythology. I mean, and then of course like you said, Julie Pierce might return season 5 maybe, or maybe even season 6, you know. And, you know, you'll see her and Daniel interacting. It's kind of, you know, yeah, it's a what-if situation, you know. And, you know, I look forward to that. You know, hopefully we will see that come into fruition in the near future. But, yeah, I guess that's about it. I mean, I guess, you know, in AEW, they had Sammy Guevara beat Cody Rhodes in the Bash of the Beach to become the, you know, the undisputed TNT champion. I'm trying to remember her name. Jade Cargill. She won the TBS title. I'm trying to remember the show now. Rampage. Adam Cole, you know, declares that he's gonna, you know, compete for the, he's gonna be a AEW champion one day. So, you know, that's something to definitely look forward to. And challenge for Adam Page in the future. But, yeah, other than that, yeah, I guess that's all she wrote for today. Next week, we'll give our predictions for the Super Bowl. Maybe if we have time, we'll give our, spoilers about the Book of Boba season that's going to end on Wednesday. And, whatever surprises we have in store for you guys. So, he's Macaulay Matthew. I'm William Rameau, and I'll see you guys next week. So please feel free to check out next week's episode. Same time, Saturday at 11. Check out my YouTube channel, Sports of Religion TV, and I'll see you guys next week. So, again, I'm William Rameau. He's Macaulay Matthew. And I'll see you guys next time, which will be next week. Peace. Ha ha ha.